Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
For tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and today we go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, to see something beautiful that Jesus has set up for his church. Jesus, of course, cares a lot about the ministry of the gospel to you. So he has here the apostles focusing on the preaching of the word. And then he also cares about ministering to the real needs of people in the body of Christ. And so before us today, he sets up what we call the diaconate. It's such a beautiful passage to show the Lord's care and love and how he wants that love to be shown in the body of Christ as a great witness and fulfilling of his promise and word to people. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. We do read all of your correspondence. And if you can support Abounding Grace, it continues to help us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You can do that right online at agradio.org. Here's now part two of a message that we heard yesterday from Acts chapter 6, which I have titled The Magnificent Seven. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
God, leave the Word of God to do everything else. This is what Satan wants. Study it. Think about it. Why? Because in this way, you have undermined the key to the church's ministry and success. Remember what Pentecost was all about? You say the giving of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit so that the gospel would be preached. So notice what they say. Study what they say here very carefully at the beginning of Acts 6. It's a very powerful statement in verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." What if I just stopped and said, "It's not right that we should give up the word of God to serve"? You'd be a little uneasy, wouldn't you? Serve tables. What does this mean? That would be the most dangerous thing that we could do. Now, this is why I said people don't understand this. Our natural thought, as time goes on, and the pressure is, as the problems mount, less preaching, more program. Less preaching, more programs. Less preaching, more programs. But what we're learning in Acts is, already at the beginning, that was not the thought in the early church. It was more preaching, more preaching, more preaching. That's how they're thinking. That as normal church life went on and they were getting pounded with problems and inward struggles and strife and division, their answer was, "We know and we believe strongly that the priority that we have to maintain in the ministry is prayer and the ministry of the word. Those go together. We've got to give ourselves to that. That's the best thing we could do for you. That's the best thing we could do for the people." Mark my word, if you ever look at a church ripped apart in divisions and conflict and members complaining and members disgruntled with the ministry, and you listen to what they're complaining about, it's anything and everything else than the priority. But I would suggest to you, here's what you will see. At the pastoral position, a ministry of the word is second. Second. The ministry of the word is second. His heart is not there. And that's why the church is floundering and ripped apart in division. If he is outside of his study doing anything and everything else, or even become a cultural warrior or the great visitor, he is the one fueling this dissatisfaction in the body, and the body doesn't even know how it's happened. Here's the thing. It's that approach to ministry that produces the complaining. People don't think this way. Because none of the other things that he is doing fit the primary calling to preach the word, and so he's not satisfying that way. He's not giving real power to people as the Lord has put it in place. That's why I don't know how many times I've heard of ministries and pastors and denominations talking about all the goals for ministry, all the goals. What's your goal setting? What are you doing? And nobody I've heard stops and reads for setting any kind of goals and plans for the ministry. Simply to put, Timothy, I charge you by the living God, preach the word in season and out of season. That's it. That's the goal. Timothy, I charge you to go out and fix all the world's problems. Go fix racism. Nope. I charge you to preach the word. Preach the gospel. And watch what happens. I forgot it. I had it printed out. I was going to bring it for you. When Donald Gray Barnhouse went to 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, he took the call. I have it in my mind, so I'm pretty close to the direct quote. He said, and his wife wrote a biography, and his quotes are all through there. And he said to 10th Presbyterian, I'm going to make one pastoral call to you. And he said, if you ever see me again, behind me, you will either see the sheriff or the mortician. You believe he said that? What he went on to say was, I want you to know, I'm going to give my whole life to the delivery and preaching of the word of God for you. I'm going to give myself to that for you. When we think about that, we start to struggle a little bit because we think, doesn't that isolate the pastor from the people? And please hear me correctly. That does not mean we never visit. That does not mean we aren't among the sheep, we don't love the sheep, that we don't care for the sheep, that we don't deal with the problems of the sheep. That's not at all. The apostles weren't isolating themselves. What it's saying is, what all this is saying is priorities have to be in place. Priorities. That's the heart of this passage. It is the apostles saying we are prioritizing our lives to stick with what is much more difficult. What is much more difficult. That requires a lot of prayer and giving of our minds to study the scriptures. Because Satan, we see, wants to pull us away from this. But this is the best thing for your souls we can do. For when this is done, guess what begins to happen? The congregation becomes satisfied. The word of God is feeding them. I mean that. Look at places of peace. Look at churches running well. Look at places of people growing and uniting. What is the key factor that's happening in that place? The word of God is filling all kinds of voids in people's lives. Let me give you an example as I thought about it this week that I think supports this. For 8 months now, my mother has been absolutely frantic. Living and believing Dad will get better. Dad's not going to get better. She's living and believing Dad will get better. She has been running frantically. She's on edge. She's restless. Doctor the other day says, listen, it's my opinion And the reports are pretty clear in showing it, that the cancer is back in the liver. It's just a matter of time. Stop. Rest with your husband. That has really affected her. You know what that word did for her? Calmed her. It calmed her. She's been running. Do you know what the preaching of the gospel does for you? I have rest for you. Calm. Calm down. Jesus' voice is being heard right now. Come to me and I'll give you rest for your weary souls because I know what you're doing out there. You're running everywhere. You're weary. Calm. Come. That's what this day is, a day of rest. This is what the word does for you. Are you stressed about sin? Are you weary about life? The gospel says, I've answered you. The word of God is given in all kinds of creative, beautiful ways to make the truth of love and peace and rest known to you. But it takes effort. It's effort of men to do this. You need this. And you don't even realize you need these words. That's the thing. They come to you when your attitudes don't even want to be here. And those words come to you and you're blessed. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? We just all sit around and do nothing with all this mountain of needs? No. There are many needs here. What was their solution? The Magnificent Seven. I love this. They said, you know what was actually happening here? The apostles were becoming super dominies, weren't they? And in the process, they were preventing the use of real good gifts that others could use who had been touched by the gospel that could actually meet the physical needs of the people. So the apostles had a great theology of gifts. Oh, they loved a theology of gifts. They thought about a theology of gifts. But God has so composed the body, Paul got this, that giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. We're going after this division problem. But that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Jesus cared a lot about this. But we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Pastors aren't Jesus. Apostles aren't Jesus. So therefore, brothers, we, given wisdom from the Spirit, have an idea. Pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Notice what happened. They called a meeting. Some of you are thinking they established a committee. No. One pastor had a sign over. If one of you wants to build me this, I'll be thankful. One pastor had a sign over his study that said, God so loved the world that he refused to send a committee. Whatever the case, notice what happened. They looked to the church and they said, we need to recognize seven men among us who have really strong reputations, whom this ministry has really affected, who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, who have understanding and knowledge, who will tend to this matter of serving tables. What they were establishing was an office specifically designated for servanthood. They wanted to oversee the distribution of the donations of the people, but it was more than that. It was much more than that. Boys and girls, when you see these men walk around collecting your offering, I want you to think about what you're looking at here for a minute. They wanted to put something in place that would be in view before the sheep. What? This was an office motivated by love. In other words, if the complaint was, there's favoritism. If the complaint was, there's racism. If the complaint was, there's injustice. There's the poor. We're worried about this. And it's being done all wrong. If the complaint is that, then we're going to put something in place to deal with these things. When we neglect these things, the very problem that happened with Peter and Paul will happen, that people's conduct will not be in step with the gospel. It's an important phrase there. People's conduct will not be in step with the gospel. So think of what just happened. Seven magnificent men were appointed. Their office was to be servants in the body of Christ. Servants among the body of Christ. To show what conduct in step with the gospel should look like. To model it, to teach it. Do you understand the importance of this? It wasn't just go get the offering. It was, or the qualification would have been, these guys need to be really good financial managers. Just that. But there's spiritual qualifications here. So that as the apostles preached the word, these would be specifically gifted to by the Spirit to teach the church what conduct that belongs to Christian fellowship and the gospel produces. So in other words, you want application, you got servants who are called to rise up and show it. If anyone wants to be great, he must become a servant. Jesus puts an office in place to teach you it. A deacon. Jesus clearly demonstrated in his body real care for the sheep, feeding them, washing feet, providing, showing that as a king, he loves even to feed and care for your bodies. Do you know that? You know he loves to care for you that way? And Jesus, when he demonstrated this, was showing it to show that God has no partiality. He was going to blind Bartimaeus. He was going to the poor. He wasn't running to Caesar. He was running to the needy so that the entire office would embody here before them the very actions of Jesus through the message that was preached. They needed examples of this. Do you ever stop and say, what is the Christian life supposed to look like? Well, think of what the Spirit just did. They needed to see hands at work in front of them. They needed to see it. The kind of love and care that Christ is after in the body. And the effect would be of this office was to be a kind of training ground for the whole congregation to learn it. That's the diaconate. What a blessing the office of deacon is. Do you know that? That office is for you. You know, for all the charges today in the church, and I hear it constantly, and sure, the church fails. For all the charges of racism and all the problems, and I hear all this talking. Everyone talks. Telling us how the church always fails. Do we ever stop and say, you know, have you missed what God did put in place for you? Are you seeing what this office was set up to address? God put servants in action for you, which means you need to be very, very proactive in who you put into this office. Notice that was important here. Do you know you have deacons here who you can call on to come pray with you and love you? In times of crisis, if you have needs, that they're going to be there? Do you know that's in place for you? Or are you too proud to make that call? When you're failing, they have meetings where they gather and spend a lot of hours to think about all the blessings that come out of this place financially, of how to be a blessing to you, and if resources permit, to this community. I have to say, it's a challenge to the diaconate to never become a ministry of scrutiny, but to remember that this office we see is the greatest application of the gospel. We see hands in action that promote love and unity, and we are taught to think this way. In other words, the diaconate doesn't look at the guy on the corner and says, get a job, right? The diaconate realizes we're all a mess and that people do a lot of stupid things and mess up their lives, and they'd rather show mercy because that's what Jesus does constantly to us, doesn't he? If you're going to beat divisions in the life of the church, maybe we need to think about the office God put in place to do it. Maybe we need to hold this office in a lot higher regard than we do. Listen to the qualifications. Not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. Let them be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Which means they need to be here in church whenever there's a service to lead that way, to show they value what's most important because they're exhibiting the word of God. Deacons shouldn't be home. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. Listen to this promise here. This is just great. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You see how they answered the problem? How they answer the problem? You say, well, they established the office of deacon. No, it's not how they answered the problem. That's not how they ultimately solved it. What did they establish this office for? How? Listen to this in the beginning again. We'll close with this thought. Now, in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, then comes the complaint. Here comes all the struggles of daily grind in the church. And now, at the end of verse 7, look at this. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Problem solved. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The complaint stopped, in other words. How? Why? People were really responding, and they overcame this problem. How? One statement shines in the text today. You should highlight. Did you see it? And the word of God grew. I love that. How does the word of God grow? That is a remarkable statement. Do you see it in verse 7? And the word of God increased continually. That was the solution. That was the solution. The apostles said, we got to stay with that priority. Church is getting big. Church has needs. Satan wants to take us all away from this, to disrupt our preaching and marginalize it and make it not all that important, and people think it should be this and that. We cannot do that against all the pressures. We cannot do that. We cannot do that at all. So we need to set up something so that we don't leave the word of God and establish this office of servanthood. That's going to free us up in the priority to pray and to preach. And that's going to be a blessing to the deacons, and the deacons are going to be a blessing to the people that way. Servants will be made through the word, is what I'm trying to say. When we have the men most affected by it, the men who have really been taken by the gospel that is preached to them, then they're going to be set apart to go love their brethren. That's what they're going to do. That's how the word's going to grow among us. That's the solution. As the word grows where? In your hearts. That's where it's growing. Word is as large as it could be. It has to be enlarged in you. The Lord has to open the heart. We're going to see that in Acts. The word of God is preached and the Lord will open Lydia's heart. That will be the answer to division. That will be the answer to struggle. What a beautiful design, isn't it? Overall, isn't that what we're doing right now? You came here today to sit under the word of God. Did it increase in your hearts? As that increases in your hearts, look at the servants today who are set apart among you who collected your money. A lot more going on, isn't there? They walk among you as examples to have conduct in step with the gospel, to teach you it. This is the ministry of Jesus, the ministry among us. That should be, in every way, a ministry that replaces all complaining. It doesn't show favoritism, but loves people. It's an office that loves people.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.